Initial House tax reform bill will be introduced on Wednesday by the Ways and Means
Today
Committee.
I want to take a step back and explain what we're working to do.
Suppose that every day 10 people, for our purposes, we'll say reporters, go out for beer. For all 10 comes to $100.
First
if four, the poorest, would pay nothing. The fifth would pay $1. The 10 reporters drank in the bar every day and seemed quite happy with the arrangement. The group still wanted to pay their bill the way we pay our taxes. But what about the other six? How could they divide the $20 windfall so that everyone... They realized that $20 divided by six is $3.33.
Hello, Forward Nation Radio viewers. I hope you've all had the opportunity to watch Sarah the Huckster Sanders justify the GOP tax cuts through a story of 10 reporters going out to drink beer. If you have not seen this, it is a must-see. You must go to the Forward Nation Radio website and look for the link there. Allow me to retort with my own story of 10 people going out and drinking a beer. In my case, I will use teachers. So 10 teachers go out to drink a beer together. But the first is a scion of a private school-owning family who's a billionaire, but keeps getting richer by ripping off her students and working with corrupt financial companies to sell them overpriced loans. So naturally, she feels superior. And when the first round of beers comes, she drinks all 10 of the beers because she's entitled. Why should you have beers? She reasoned. You're probably on food stamps, and I shouldn't be paying for your beers anyway. When they begin to protest, she says, I don't fight my own battles, and she directs them to her attorney to finish the argument. So the next round of drinks comes, and she decides to drink 9 of the 10 beers, leaving the others to fight for the last beer. Watch the union guy, she says. He's got his eye on your beer. And that black teacher, you know she didn't earn her job. She got it over a more qualified white person. You better keep your eye on her. And the Hispanic teacher, we're not even going to go there. So they decide they're going to share the last beer, and they're still thirsty. So she says to them, I'm going to teach you the wonders of the trickle-down economy. And she pisses on them. And yet this still doesn't solve the problem, because they're still thirsty, only now they're covered in pee. She decides to get the hell out of there, not taking responsibility for anything, so she decides to pay for her share of the beers. 2 beers. She figures, what the hell, I'll just write off my taxes anyway, as an entertainment expense, since I have my own business. And yet it still rankles her, because being superior as she is, she's not used to paying for her own anything. So she decides that she is going to charge the whole expense to her company and get the shareholders to pay for her beers. Yeah, that's more like it. So now the cost of her beers will be split among the shareholders and the taxpayers. The taxpayers paying that money, government has less money to spend on things like all the other teachers in their jobs. So 3 of those teachers are now going to lose their jobs and their benefits, including their health care, which if the Republicans get to repeal Obamacare, they now won't have it all. So they no longer need the beer. Now they just need opioids.
It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
Welcome to Forward Nation Radio with me, David Leventhal. Thank you for joining us at home, and thank you to our studio audience for joining us. Halloween edition. Thank you. Yeah, Halloween, good cheer. I love your support. Halloween edition. You know Halloween, the holiday where we get to put on masks and extort valuables from our fellow citizens, or as the White House calls it, Tuesday. Halloween edition. Halloween was celebrated at the White House. I was going to go as a pumpkin with a mop on my head, but that was already taken. Not by the President of the United States, however, who decided to go with a really, really, really scary costume. In fact, the scariest costume of Halloween. He went as the President of the United States. Mike Pence, the Vice President, went as supply-side Jesus. Why? Didn't require a whole lot of costume there, because they're equally white, according to Mike Pence. Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, went as a vertebrate. He had to leave the party early, of course, because he had to return the backbone before the next workday. Sarah the Huckster Sanders went as a lying sack of shit, which meant she wore a sack. Marco Rubio came and he put on his big boy pants and went as a grown-up. Ted Cruz, he went as a porn star. Okay, it's the only way you get any life into him at all. The National Security Staff, theirs was the best costume. They went as an NFL offensive line. They were protecting the nuclear launch codes from the president. We as Americans just have to hope they weren't the New York Giants offensive line, or we're all lost. And finally, Paul Manafort. He decided to spend Halloween dressed up as a jailbird. And that brings us to our first story today, Russia. Yes, it's been a while since Russia has led our show, but it's back, and it's back in a big way. And make no mistake, the indictment of Paul Manafort and his associate was a major, major deal. Was it a surprise? No, everybody knew Manafort was going down. But the extent of the charges, how much was being brought against him, means that the prosecution now has, perhaps, enough to twist his arm to get him to speak. In other words, he can get beyond the code of silence of the mafia and force these guys to speak. Because if you're only facing a few years of jail time, Manafort's going to keep his mouth shut because there are millions of dollars in payoffs that are going to await him. But if he's facing 20 years in prison, that might completely change his mind frame. Now we're reliant, as we see as well, on Attorney General of New York, Eric Schneiderman, and his ability to bring state charges against Paul Manafort. Because one of the big stories in this story is that much of the crimes that Manafort was indicted for are state charges. And Donald Trump cannot pardon him from state charges. Things are starting to look pretty interesting. Or, as breaking news from Fox News would have it, Hillary. Also, the indictment of George Papadopoulos was a big story with these, it turns out, that came out, news it released at the same time. He apparently has been turning state's evidence. And who is Papadopoulos? He is a member of the Trump foreign policy team. Well, when I say foreign policy team, I mean who? What? Papa what? Mana who? Chief of staff? We hardly knew these guys. This is kind of reminding me, because even though the Trump administration is extreme and Trump is nuts, it's the same Republican crap year after year after year. And this reminds me of the Bush administration when the Enron scandal blew up. And Bush said, Ken what? Lay? Ken Lay? What was that guy's name? Don't even know him. I think he supported my opponent. Turns out, of course, he was a big donor. George Bush Jr., Boy George, called Kenny Boy. And we're going to find out more and more that this Papadopoulos was a lot less of a fringe member of the Trump team than they would like to have you believe, and that Fox would like to have you believe. What's the big story on Fox? Are they covering the fact that the entirety of the Trump foreign policy team at this point has been shown to be incompetent and increasingly crooks? Nah, of course not. Do you know that Hillary conspired with Russia to lose the election? Apparently, check out this Podesta thing. That's the big story today. Don't lose your focus. Speaking of losing your focus, and this is going to sound kind of nasty, Trump and Fox News got an early Christmas gift. They woke up Tuesday night to the news and said, isn't it still Halloween? How's it Christmas already? And by Christmas, I mean the terrorist attack in New York City, that some asshole decides to mow down a bunch of people. This allows them to completely change the story. This allows Trump and Fox News to take credit and advance their policies. Because in America, is it inappropriate to take advantage of a national tragedy for political gain? Absolutely, if you're a Democrat. If you're a Republican, it's what you do. Oh my God, I sounded like a commercial there. I really didn't want to do that. Not until they're a sponsor, anyway. But that wasn't the end of the Russia story. Even though we might be distracted by what some crazy man from Uzbekistan decided to do. Or, as former Republican presidential hopeful and frontrunner Herman Cain said, Uzbeki, Becky, 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 Stan. I'm not making this up. These are the people who are protecting us. Also in the news this week with Russia was that Cambridge Analytica, a company we've talked about in the past, hired to promote lies and to get Trump elected, has been working, we know, with the Trump camp, and it turns out they have been coordinating with WikiLeaks to promote information and spread information stolen by Russia, a hostile foreign power. Boy, they really better stand for the national anthem now. And we found out that Olga Veselnitskaya, been practicing that for a week, has, you know, that was the woman who invited Donald Trump Jr., DJ, and Paul Manafort, the guy he didn't know, and all those other people to the big meeting with the Russian people. It turns out, and who could have seen this coming, that she has been working for the Kremlin and was working for them as part of that meeting. The noose is getting tighter and tighter and tighter around Trump and the Trump administration. What does this mean? We've said for a long time, this guy's a blatant crook. And he's gotten away with it so much his entire life. Everything he's done, he's gotten away with. There's been no responsibility. That has led him to be a blatant crook. And it is hard to imagine that they are not going to be uncovering a trove of evidence of criminal misconduct. I believe we are heading for a constitutional crisis. The question is going to become, when criminal information comes out, when the special counsel Mueller comes out and shows more and more criminal collusion with a hostile foreign power, will the Republicans in Congress do anything about it? When Trump, as is likely, decides he has to stop this and fires Bob Mueller, what will happen? Okay. And that brings us naturally to Corruption Watch. Everything in this administration comes back to Corruption Watch. Let's start with the tax bill and spend just a moment or two on that. Sarah Huckabee Sanders was out there lying about the tax bill and who benefits. What a surprise. Let's look first at who's drafting the bill. And it turns out who's drafting the bill are a bunch of billionaires and billionaire lobbyists. Can't see that one coming. But why the rush? Turns out Congress wants to get this major tax legislation all passed before November is out, before Thanksgiving. Sound familiar? It's like reworking healthcare, 1/6 of the U.S. economy, in 2.5 hours. In this case, why the rush? Isn't sunlight the best disinfectant? That's why the rush. Because when you're a vampire, sunlight is not a good disinfectant. It's the death of you and what you want to accomplish. So they have to rush this through before, God forbid, anyone figures out how full of shit they are and what's really going to happen with the bill. almost 80% of the benefits of which will go to people earning more than $1 million a year, to the tune of about $230,000 a year each. That's who's going to benefit. So they send out the huckster to tell this bullshit story about the beer. And as we talked about, this is reminding us of the Bush administration. Same thing with Bush. Lying about the fact that poor people don't pay taxes. They do. They may not pay income taxes because they're too poor. Or, in the words of the Wall Street Journal editorial page, lucky duckies. They're too poor to pay income taxes, but they pay sales taxes and all kinds of other taxes, which means that the poor in this country end up paying about the same effective tax rate as most of the rest of the country. It's bullshit. What we're seeing also is the sleight of hand that we talked about last time with the bill slowly phasing in and supposedly phasing out, and it will never phase out. That includes the estate tax cuts for estates worth more than $11 million. In other words, something that will affect nobody but really rich people. During the Bush administration, to make the bill look like it fit within the budget, the estate taxes were supposed to magically come back after a few years, leading to people calling, including me, the Bush tax cuts, the Throw Mama from the Train Act. Throw Mama from the Train, most of our viewers are too young to know, was an old movie about, yes, throwing Mama from the train, getting your mama killed. The point of this was, with the estate tax phasing back in on January 1st of whatever year it is, let's say 2025, that means that if your mom and your grandparents are sick in December of 2024, you've got to kill them real quickly. You've got to pull that plug, because if those bastards linger until January 1st, the estate tax is back on, and you don't get to inherit your millions tax-free. But if you can manage to knock them off before December 31st at midnight, you inherit all of your money without paying taxes. You know, the Republican version of death panels. But the corruption doesn't end there. We've seen the education secretary filling the education department with for-profit hucksters who've recently faced indictment for not providing an education and ripping people off. The energy secretary, Rick Perry, the smarter guy with the glasses, who took over the energy department because all he thought he was going to be doing was promoting the interests of oil companies before he found out, who knew, the energy department actually had a job. The EPA, against climate change, Whitefish Energy. I know, it was just a coincidence. That two-person company of 2 years in existence got a $300 million contract in Puerto Rico because they earned it. And opioids? Well, did you see Kentucky Representative James Comer trying to explain why he supports tax cuts and Republican cuts of up to $2 trillion in Medicaid when Medicaid covers one quarter of the people who are getting treated for substance abuse, including most of Eastern Kentucky, which includes his constituents? What was his response to how do you justify cutting Medicaid funding when you're supposedly at war with opioids? His response is, a lot of substance abusers aren't on Medicaid. That was his response. Climate report, or as Fox News would say, never mind. It's just worse than anybody even imagined. Or as Fox News would say, beach weather in Pennsylvania. How do we get to this state of being this insane? The kind of things that people on the right now believe. Next week's show will specifically tackle how misinformed we are and where we get our information to keep us just that misinformed. Now we're going to take a few minutes to take some questions from our audience. Why? Because we now can. Okay, we have a couple of listener questions. I'm going to read the questions to you because our listeners haven't signed the liability release, so they're not allowed to be on camera. As you know, Halloween was yesterday, and I was terrified. Not of ghosts. You will be. You will be. Sorry. But who Trump was going to... My kids are going to love that one. But who Trump was going to pick to head the Federal Reserve? It turns out he has picked a man, Jerome H. Powell, who is a current member of the Fed and who the New York Times described as a moderate and a safe choice. Do you believe we dodged a bullet this time, or do you believe there is more to look out for regarding his choice to head the Fed? Well, great question, and something that you should absolutely be concerned about. Understand the power of the Fed. Most people don't understand how important this organization is. Its powers are really twofold. One, it helps regulate the financial community and the banks. And when we're not doing much regulating in our government, the Fed is going to have to do a lot of stepping up as far as regulating. Also, they control monetary policy. And since the Republicans prevented Barack Obama as president from doing much fiscal policy to address the Great Recession, the Federal Reserve, by its use of monetary policy, probably kept us out of another Great Depression. This is an important bank that affects your lives every single day. The first thing, of course, is Donald Trump has announced or let it leak that he's going to be picking Powell, but he hasn't picked Powell yet. And in case you haven't noticed yet from Donald Trump, until it's signed, sealed, and delivered, wait, not even then. It's not official. Even then he goes back on it. So first, let's wait for another day or so to see if this is the actual choice. The fact that this would be someone who's not a firebrand conservative is a hopeful sign. But of course, the chairman of the Federal Reserve doesn't run the Federal Reserve single-handedly. And of course, the administration will make it perfectly clear how they feel about monetary policy, how they feel about regulation. They've certainly made it clear how they feel about regulation. Now that the Republicans are in Congress, of course, they're perfectly okay with the Federal Reserve stimulating the economy. None of the arguments they made against stimulation in the past had anything to do with actual principled arguments. It was just they didn't want Obama to benefit from a better economy. Now that the Republicans are running things, they'll be perfectly happy to have the Fed promote things. So we're certainly not out of the woods yet. Thank you for your question. Our last question comes via the internet. You know, that series of tubes. From Rick from Los Angeles. I would always ask where in the Constitution all these social programs are allowed, but I already know the bullshit answer. Libtards, it always cracks me up. Libtards always use the promote the general welfare clause, but they don't even understand it's not part of the Constitution, but only the preamble. Here's a question. Why is it none of my business who someone sleeps with? And of course, it isn't. But why am I required to pay for birth control? Okay, Rick from LA. Thanks for your flattering description and for your questions. All right, where in the Constitution all these social programs are allowed? Social programs don't need to be allowed by the Constitution. Things don't need to be explicitly allowed by the Constitution. Things are allowed unless they are not allowed as per the Constitution. Well, the Constitution forbids it. I'm not really sure what your question asks. It seems a bit of a non sequitur to be talking about social programs and then the Constitution and the preamble. Libtards is just brilliant. I can't even remember the last time I heard that. Oh, maybe it was this morning. And I appreciate someone who's still arguing that making Donald J. Trump the President of the United States will refer to people who didn't make that decision as libtards. By the way, I also think that's probably politically incorrect, but that'll just give you more grist for the mill on that one. Why is it none of my business who someone sleeps with? Thank you for that. You and I agree on that. It just shows that people on the left, libtards, and people on the right can sometimes find common ground. But why am I required to pay for birth control? Well, there are a couple of answers to that question. First of all, I'm sorry for your lack of a sex life. And I understand how this might be painful for you to pay for other people who are having sex. I get it. But in any event, there's a couple answers for this, which is I pay for your anti-anxiety medication. You pay for my fixing my leg. We pay for people's choices sometimes. That's what it means to live in a civilized society. We don't live in a society run by the Bible, where people aren't allowed to have sex. And we live in a society where we understand that sometimes people do. So I hear, I'm married. The other answer to your question is, you're required to pay for birth control in part because it's money well spent. There are all kinds of costs to society from unwanted pregnancies. History teaches us that lack of access to birth control will not result in a lack of sex. It will result in an increase in unwanted pregnancies. We should actually be happy to support this policy of paying for people's contraception. One, it allows people to live their lives the way they want. It allows them to live it responsibly. And it allows society to avoid the unwanted costs of unwanted pregnancies and unwanted births. We actually save money. We increase the productivity of our workforce by allowing people to not have to face the consequences of our bad decisions. All right, that's our show for today. As always, thank you for joining us. Like Looking Forward, go to forwardnationradio.com. That's forwardnationradio.com. And get the full experience. You'll see the video from this and every episode there and on our YouTube channel as well. Please don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Don't miss the next Forward Nation Radio podcast on Podbean at podbean.com. Like us on Facebook, subscribe, tell your friends, spread the word. Forward Nation Radio, see you next week.
You've been listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.